They had ignored God's commands. They cared not about obeying the things of the Lord. And God had now brought a judgment by the Babylonians. A year earlier, they had already made their way in and began to attack Jerusalem. Now at this point, they have surrounded the city. The Bible said the mounts, which are nothing more than the battering rams, are now up against the walls. They are making their way into the city. Things were well nigh hopeless. It looked like they were going to be destroyed, taken captive, which they soon would be. It was a horrible situation, to say the least. And Jeremiah was crying out to God because he knew not where to go. By the way, that's the first place we should always go, is unto him. And Jeremiah was crying out to God, and he was asking God to take care of the situation. Jeremiah shows us how to answer any doubts that we might have when we find ourselves into desperate situations and circumstances. See, what some people do is crack up. Or some people just give up. Or some people just give in. Or they just let things go as they already are. But there are some who determine before God that they are going to do the one most important thing that every one of us have. I, as a pastor, it's one of my major responsibilities to pray. To pray. Do you pray? Now, I'm not asking you, do you talk about prayer? I'm not asking you, do you believe in prayer? But do you pray? Do you talk to God? Do you get alone with Him? As we go to God in prayer, what the Lord is showing us here is not just the fact that we pray. And some people will say something like, well, you know, I pray and God doesn't seem to answer my prayers. Can I remind you of this? God always answers prayer. Now, He may answer yes, He may answer no, or He may answer maybe, but most of the time, I find myself, if I say something foolish like, well, God doesn't answer my prayer, basically what I'm saying is I'm not satisfied with what God's answer is. And we become guilty of that. Jeremiah, the Bible makes it very clear that not only did he pray, but he shows us how we focus in our prayer. I want you to write yourself some notes. Take your note sheet out there that we put in the bulletin. This is very important. This will help you because every one of you, you're going to find yourself in desperate situations from time to time in life. It's going to happen. It's going to come. Life, as I said earlier, and I've said this before, life is not a steady upward hill. You're always going to have hills and valleys, ups and downs. There are going to be times it's going to be like that. I'm going to be honest with you, the way I look at it right now, we are in a desperate situation right here in America. Our nation's in a desperate situation. You know, we can talk about, you know, getting new leadership in the White House and all the other things, but the bottom line is this, whether, you know, they can start the campaign and all that. You know what? I think they need to focus more on what the business is at hand rather than what's going to happen in November of 2012. I mean, we need to stop worrying about who's going to run for this and who's going to run for that. Why don't we have the people that are in office do their jobs and get this nation back to where it should be? But what I want to help us tonight is also that we can get our lives back where it ought to be and not let ourselves run ragged and run, you know, kind of loose like loose cannons, you know, just totally out of control. But may we learn how to make sure that we can pray and our focus and our prayer can be right. I'm sure all of you have been like I have been. Have you ever gotten on your knees and prayed, and when you prayed, your mind wanders off? Maybe you haven't focused right. Maybe it's our focus. Maybe the reason why our prayers have become relatively ineffective today is because we've not learned to focus. Jeremiah is a man that focused in this prayer. I want you to write some things down. Number one, write this one down. His first focus was on the message of creation. There's a message in creation. Do you realize that God is the creator? all that we have before us did not happen by accident or by chance or by happenstance or some amoeba grew some legs and whatever the case is, and you know, a frog jumped on land and he dried up and became a man, you know, or whatever the idea is. We do realize that God made man. And there's a message in that. And that message is critical. And if we're to understand that, when we go to God in prayer, it's going to change how we view God. You see, the truth of the matter is, in creation, God's message is, number one, it reveals his power. He has great power. As the creator, as God who created the universe, as we look at creation, we learn about his power and who he is. The Bible says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In other words, when you think about it, that when you look up into the sun, moon, and stars at night, and you look up at that those stars at night, you look at that moon there, you recognize the fact that there was a creator that put that there. And the beauty of all that, the splendor of all that, is truly magnificent. Because you and I, we serve a God that's all-powerful. His power is evidenced not only by the fact of what creation is, but the fact that he created. His power is evidenced by his spoken word. Do you realize that he spoke and creation came into existence? It is he spoke something out of nothing. That is that God made something out of nothing. You see, if we make something, we got to have something to make. We can't make something out of nothing. Only God can do that. And God spoke and nothing became something. The Bible says in Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. What is God saying? God's saying, look, I am God. There is no other God. Allah is not God. There's only one God. It is God who made all things. God the Creator. He controls creation. And in Psalm 33, he goes on and he says this. He says, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. In other words, what we need to do, folks, tonight is when we focus in our prayer and we go to God, we need to realize that we're just not talking to some wall or some object or some like one guy say this, he said, when I pray, I think of God as a big eyeball. God's not a big eyeball. God is God. I don't know where you get the idea of an eyeball. But the point is that when we go to God, that we talk to the Almighty Creator. And I take my problems and my difficulties and my circumstances and my adversities, and I take them to the God that made all things. That alters how I think about my things, about my life. See, when I begin to focus right, here Jeremiah was, the walls were caving in. The enemies were going to overrun him. Things were falling apart altogether for the nation. He was the prophet, and he was going to be subject to that. In fact, we read a few chapters later that he tries to flee, and when he tries to flee out of the city, they capture him, and they bring him back and put him in jail. God wants us to realize that when we pray, when we really get serious about prayer, that we can focus on the message of creation, because that is the one area in God that we can see here in these verses reveals his power. I mean, it's big. It's huge. He's the creator, the all-powerful one. But then also write this one down. It reveals his ability. God is not just powerful enough to create, but he has an ability that goes even beyond creation. You realize there's no restriction that God has. There was nothing that God has that we, you know, when we think about it, that God is able to do whatever is within his will. He is capable of doing all things. Reminded of the song that songwriter wrote when he talked about when Jesus hung on the cross. There were those that said, well, if he's God, he can save himself. Why can't he save himself? The songwriter wrote these words. He said, they bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him. He's to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Realize God could have done that, but he chose not to. You realize God could change the world that we live in an instant, and he has done some pretty amazing things recently. Have you noticed what's happening with all these natural disasters recently? It's getting our attention, isn't it? The earthquakes, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the fires, all the other things. God's reminding us of the frailty of man and how powerful he is and what he can do. You see, I believe tonight that God can do more for us than we ever can imagine. As Jeremiah's knelt here in prayer, crying out to God the Creator, he says he needs God so desperately. And the focus is on who he is as the Creator. But you know what our problem is sometimes? Here's what I think we do. Now, we all do this, so we could sit here and act like we don't, but I know we do. We all take God and we make God like man. And here's what we do. We, even though we, with our lips say, oh no, no, we know God can do whatever, because as we read the scriptures, we've seen God do some amazing things. But yet, in our faith, in our heart, we kind of wonder, can God really do that? Can God really save my husband? Can God turn this nation back? Can God take care of that health issue that I have in my life? Can God pay that bill? Can God do this? Can God do that? You know, we start in our own hearts wondering, because we'd like to kind of maybe bring God almost down to human level. And what God wants us to do is get our eyes off of the human and look at God as the Creator. You see how powerful he is? You see what he can do? And Jeremiah, in this time, this tragedy, as the walls are coming down and the attacks are coming, it's certain they're going to die. God reminds them of who he is. That's the focus. Boy, prayer can really do a lot of things. You know what? I don't believe prayer changes things. I believe prayer changes us. Don't you? I'm convinced that what God wants us to do in America is stop looking at the White House and start looking up in heaven. And start talking to God and asking God to change us. Because, see, the problem is not so much what's going on around us. The problem is what's within us. See, our problem is we want, boy, if I could just get this straight, get my husband straightened out, or my wife straightened out, or get this straightened out, or get this job situation, or get this market back to where it needs to be, or get this nation back to where it is. You know, the problem is we're trying to do something that we think we can change, or we're hoping it's going to get better, when really what God wants us to do is within ourselves, make the change. It's not so much what's going on that we want to see changed around us. God says, what I'm concerned about is what's going on in you. Can I be honest with you? There's probably a lot of things there's nothing we can do about. But we can react properly to the things that we know we can do. That we can do something about. Amen? I mean, we can't change the economy. You know, does this bug you? Have you noticed, by the way, did you notice that gas prices have gone back up again? I know all of us are probably sitting here thinking, you know, it's Labor Day. No, it's not Labor Day. You know what happened? You remember the tornadoes that came down in the Gulf Coast? It came right through Texas and all that part of the country. They said all of the gas-producing wells down there, all those wells, they were affected by that. So guess what happens? Messed up the gas, so now our prices are going to go up. Could we stop the tornadoes? That's just like PG&E does this. They send me this thing. They'll probably be getting one here in another month or two. Here's what PG&E says. If you do not run your heater in January and February, we're going to discount about 20%. That's great if it's like right now. I'm all for it. The problem of it is, in January and February, it's not like this. It's cold, right? I know it's not cold for some people, but it's cold. Okay? And you know, it's like you turn the heat on, you almost feel guilty, like, man, if I do, I'm gonna lose my 20%. Can you control that? You can't control the weather. You know what God's saying? I'm the creator. Stop looking at what you can't control. Start looking at who I am. What God is saying. So the message of creation, write this one down. I'm going to have to hurry. This is just something the Lord has really put on my heart recently. Not only are we to look at the message of creation, but number two, we're to look at the majesty of his person. As Jeremiah is praying there in his prayer time with God, as this prayer is being opened up to us in this chapter, he uses in verses 18 and 19 three descriptions of his majesty. Number one, he says he's gracious. Verse 18. Did you notice? The Bible says, and I want you to look at the word, please, with me. He says in verse number 18, thou showest loving kindness. Loving kindness. The word loving kindness is a word that is very unique. It's a term of loyalty. It's a word that reflects the love of God and enduring loyalty to you. It's a word of relationship. It would be the same idea of the word that God would want of us with our spouses. What God hath put together, let not man put asunder, the Bible says. It's that same idea of that word. In other words, what God is saying is that God is saying that with this loving kindness, that God is gracious, that what he's saying is this. He says, when you're in trouble, I'm not going to forsake you. When you're having a hard time, I'm not going to turn my back on you. Because he's gracious. God, knowing he loves his people, he protects his people. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, he protects us. He's gracious. And as we pray and talk to God, God reminds us of his graciousness, because it's by his grace he even allows us to come to him. But then secondly, his greatness. Did you see that word greatness? It's used. The great is used twice. The great, it means superlative. His counsel is superlative. His character is superlative. Everything about him is so great. He's not just good, he's great. Think of that little prayer. What is it? God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. Teach our kids that. He's not just good, he's great. I mean, he is superlative. There's nothing better. There's no one better. There's nothing on ever that's ever been that's better than God. And I don't understand how anyone can deny that. Bothers me when some people think, you know, like you know, the world is better than God. And so they seek the world. Look, the world has nothing. God has everything. So I God asked the question, what shall profit a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a foolish thing to think someone would seek after the things of the world and throw God out. God says, no, I'm great. You want to be connected to something great? Get close to God. But then his goodness is found in verse 19 at the end. Notice what he says in verse 19. Look at the end of it, please, with me. It says, great in counsel, mighty in his work, and thine eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God sees us, and he's open to us, and that he will reward us for our faithfulness, but he will bring judgment on those who are not faithful. John 5 says it like this. It says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They which have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they which have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. God sees. God's good. God watches. And he looks out and he sees us where we are, and he knows who is walking with him, and he knows who is ignoring him, and he knows the judgment is coming. So we have a God like that. As we're praying to God. And we're talking to God. We're crying out to God. And God says, focus on the message of creation. Focus on the majesty of my person. Remember who I am. My characteristics are there. But then there's one more focus we need to have. The magnification of his accomplishments. You know, the work of God is great. I love being in the ministry. I love it. It's the greatest and highest calling. It's a privilege. Every Sunday when I come to church, I consider it a privilege. I never look at Sunday as being a work day for me. It's a privileged day for me. It's what God says, and the magnification of his accomplishments, we see it because he outlines in the work of God and what God did. Let me bring your attention to three quick things and we'll be done. I'll wrap this up. Number one, write this down. There's a deliverance from Egypt. If you remember that Israel was, they were slaves in Egypt. And God sent the plagues to Egypt to demonstrate his power to the Egyptians. Interesting, if you study that out, you'll find that all of those plagues that God sent were the gods of the Egyptians. They worshiped many gods. They worshiped all these things, and God made fun of their gods by sending them. And so the idea then is that God sent them, and God took them out of Egypt, the Bible says, with a high hand. That's what it says here in the passage. Thank God for a leader like Moses that did that. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be a Moses? You ever thought about that? I thought, you know, pastoring people, I wonder what it'd be like to pastor 3 million people walking in the wilderness each day trying to just get the daily provision. What must it have been like? What must it have been like to hear them gripe and complain about everything? Would have been difficult, wouldn't it? You know, I wish we're still in Egypt. What about this food? What about this, you know, this manna? And what about this water? And when are we going to get water? And, you know, you can almost imagine that. I mean, I remember when our kids were growing up, man, we drive down the road. Are we there yet? No, we're not there. You drive a little further. Are we there yet? No, not there. I got to use the bathroom. All right. Stop and use the bathroom. Drive on up the road a little way. Then you got to stop and get water, get something to drink. Then guess what happens when you get something to drink? Stop again and use the bathroom, right? Then you drive a little further. Oh, I'm hungry. Then you got to get something to eat. Then you drive another couple hours, and guess what? You got to stop and use the bathroom again. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Can you imagine having 3 million people put up with that? Thank God for a leader like Moses. And God used Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. And the Bible said, or or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? That's what God did. God says, look, if I did it then, I can do it now. And I want to tell you tonight, the same God that delivered Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, and of course we all know that that is a picture of our salvation when God saved us. And if God can save you tonight, he can take care of you tonight as well. I'm glad that God can take care of us. If he can give me eternal life, he can certainly take care of my temporal life, can't he? That's the reminder. But then there's another accomplishment when they went into the land of Canaan. There's a deliverance in the land of Canaan. God gave them the land of Canaan through the leadership of Joshua. When Joshua walked in, it was a battle every step of the way. But God was there, and God was leading, and God was giving the victory every step of the way. And tonight, I want to tell you this, in this world, it might be a battle every day, but I want to remind you of this, God is there with us. As our faith grows weak, the circumstances beat us down, we're to look to the Lord who gave Israel Canaan. And then there's the defeat by the Babylonians. If you notice here that the Babylonians, they were making their way in, and they were going to defeat them. It was going to happen. And you might say, why would God do that? Well, God told us. Here's what it is. Listen very carefully. There was no shortage of preaching of God's word. There was no shortage of that. There was no shortage of the message of God's word going out. You know what the problem was? They wouldn't obey it. It wasn't they couldn't hear it. And it wasn't they weren't being told. And it wasn't the fact they didn't know it. The problem is, they didn't obey it. And I'll tell you this, I think America has heard the word of God many times over. If you want to hear it, you can hear it. It's all around us. You can hear the word of God. You can go down and pick up a copy of the Bible. You can go to Walmart or Sam's Club or any of these places. You can find a Bible. You can get it. I don't think the problem is us hearing the Word of God or getting the Word of God. The issue is obeying the Word of God. That's it. And I'm not so certain that maybe we may not be in the judgment of God because we've not obeyed it either. We as a country have not done that. We just haven't obeyed God's Word. We know it. We just haven't obeyed it. But you see, God answers, and he gives an answer. Look at verse 27. We'll be done. Just look at it with me real quick. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And God says, nothing is too hard for me. Circumstances are difficult. They come. Sometimes they're insurmountable. Sometimes we don't know how we can get through them. R.G. Lee was a great preacher. His famous message that people come from all around and they'd ask him to preach the same one called Payday Someday. Maybe some of you heard it. I've heard it and read it. It's a great message. I wish I could have preached it myself. But somehow God just used that man. It's amazing. But years before he ever preached Payday Someday, R.G. Lee had a problem. His little boy was killed in an accident. And he said about R.G. Lee that he never smiled after that because he'd lost his son. But they said he never preached the same until he did lose his son. Out of that came Payday Someday. Lee Robertson died a few years ago. He lived to almost 100 years old. Pastor of the great Highland Park Baptist Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Pastor of that church for 40-some years. True, an amazing church. Many missionaries right now, some of the missionaries we support, they were saved through his ministry. They're getting old now, but they were saved through his ministry. Over 63,000 people walked the aisle and got baptized. They've been saved and baptized in that ministry. What made the difference? Because one day, a young preacher had a baby named Joy who died. When Joy died, it like to broke his heart. He didn't know what to do, but he went to God. Through that tragedy, Camp Joy was established. For kids who could not afford to go to camp, they were able to go free to Camp Joy for many, many years. I don't think Camp Joy is around anymore. But for many years, and thousands, literally thousands and thousands of young children were saved, and teenagers were saved at Camp Joy because of the tragedy of that one event in Dr. Robertson's life. Can I tell you this? It's not so much the tragedies that come our way or the difficulties that come our way. It's how we react to them. It's what do we do? I really believe we need to learn this valuable lesson of prayer. It's too bad we have to wait until a tragedy comes to pray like that. Seems like that's God's voice speaking to us. Maybe tonight, that's where you are. Maybe you're just facing something that's almost insurmountable. Can I tell you this? I don't know what God's going to do, but I know this. God says we can pray. The wisest thing we can do is go to Him. Focus on Him. Focus on what He has to say. I believe He can change it. At least change us. Make us what He wants us to be. Heavenly Father,